Our next case for argument is United States v. Heckel. Mr. Jones.
Good morning. May it please the Court, my name is William Jones from Madison, Wisconsin. I represent the appellant, Jeffrey Heckel. In the 4 minutes that I've allotted for this argument, I'd like to just touch on 3 points. The first is the supplementation of the record that the government did. Mr. Heckel was convicted and given a PSR to which we objected relating to a prior conviction. No record was then supplemented in the addendum or brought to the sentencing by the government, and he was sentenced on that record. Then he filed a notice of appeal. I believe I got an extension on that appeal, filed the appeal brief, and then this supplementation happened literally at the 11th hour shortly before the government filed its opposition brief. So I was, by the benefit of electronic filing, I happened to be sitting at my computer when I was notified on a Friday that there was a motion to supplement it. I was able to type up an opposition and file it electronically too that same day. And then later that day, I got this little notice in an email saying the record's been supplemented. No real explanation as to why under Federal Rule of Appellate Procedure 10, this was somehow correcting an omission or maybe correcting an error or some kind of accident. It's just we'd like to add this document that we probably would have been helpful at the sentencing. And so I don't think that it's appropriate, would be appropriate on this appeal to consider that document. Mm-hmm. Secondly, as it relates to Mr. Heckel's right to...
Yes. In that regard, are you claiming the document's inaccurate?
I guess I don't have enough opportunity to determine whether it's accurate or not. I guess I have no basis to believe that someone is somehow putting in an inaccurate document. But I think it's incomplete. It has totally gone around, circumvented the adversarial process. This should have been brought up at sentencing so that I would have had my opportunity to counter it, point out exactly why I think that document isn't all that compelling as a prior conviction that would award him 3 points instead of two. As it relates to my objections to his criminal history points, I think Mr. Heckel was entitled to hear from the court as to why my objection was not sustained, or I guess it was overruled, and why he was actually given 3 points over my objection. The court was totally silent on that point. And so I'm left both on the supplementation of the record as well as on the court's reasoning for giving him 3 points with no reasoning to argue against as to why those two things happen. And then lastly, there's the issue of mass marketing, and he got a two-level increase for fraudulently posting something on eBay. And my position and my point is that is not mass marketing. This mass marketing...
The government found that the defendant had a program, that's one of the terms used in the guidelines, had a program in which he was going to advertise, false coins or what have you on eBay, not just these seven, but he was gonna, if this worked, he'd continue with more. Wouldn't that suffice for mass marketing?
No, because the crime that he was convicted of is one fraudulent auction, and there's one victim, and it's very identifiable. And most importantly,
but the sentencing and the mass marketing definition for sentencing doesn't correspond to the offense, right? It doesn't work that way.
I believe,
right?
If the offense used mass marketing.
Enhancement, and you have to find the facts that determine the enhancement. You don't just look at the crime of conviction, but what did this involve? Did it involve a program? Was he, in fact, going to do this again?
Well, if that is the case, and I believe that I think the enhancer is if the offense involved mass marketing. And I suppose you could say you look at just the offense or the relevant conduct surrounding it. Either way, it's still not mass marketing because mass marketing is designed to address all the unknown victims for instance, in a telemarketing scam that you're never going to find out. An auction, you have one person, identifiable victim, and you also have an identifiable amount. And when you that identifiable amount, perhaps it may be increased because you used eBay instead of just a local auction hall. And if that does increase the amount, then you have a table that assesses the amount of money that is taken under that fraud, and you're already assessed those criminal, that offense level based on that. See, my time's up. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Mr. Jones. Mr. Yarosh?
Thank you, Your Honor. May it please the Court. In relationship to the first issue, what has to be understood is that in the initial objection to the PSR, the defendant only said, my client's recollection is different than what the PSR is saying in the amount of time that was assessed or that he was sentenced on that offense. And that's really worse than just a flat denial, because it's not even saying, no, I was not done that. It's just sort of speculating. It's sort of like it's a client telling an attorney, hey, here's something I'm thinking about. Maybe you can find some evidence that supports my speculation. But what Mr. Happened was that if the objection just simply says, my client, I think he thinks he has a different recollection. And then at the sentencing only, then the defense counsel came forward and said, gosh, I've looked at the documents and I don't feel they're that clear. And that's it. That does not meet the burden of establishing anything for the government or even the court to respond to at that point. The government then supplemented the record to show this court, look at, by the way, the documents that were relied upon by the PSR and surely by implication were reviewed by defense counsel, do show it. He was sentenced to 15 months. It's really not an issue. It wasn't necessary for the district court to address this as an argument because they're not really necessary to address every argument. And it wasn't really an argument that produced any evidence.
I thought it was 19 months.
I'm sorry, excuse me?
It was 19
months. It is 19 months. Did I say 15?
You did.
I know. I don't know. I must have 15 on my mind for some reason. But it is
19 months.
And
the PSR addendum, which was a response to the initial objection, I didn't recall that objection, specifically addressed that. And in that addendum, the agent reported that he or she, I can't remember if it was a man or a woman, looked at the documents and confirmed that it was a 19-month sentence.
Right.
Okay.
And then
we just didn't have a copy of it in the record. That's what you supplemented later on.
Right.
Okay.
Exactly. And that is really what pertains to that particular issue. There was no error by the district court. In terms of the mass marketing appeal, or rather the mass marketing assessment enhancement in this case, what you have is not an isolated incident. What you have is the defendant placing ads for these coins and toys on not only one website, but at least two websites, the Yahoo and the eBay website. So it's not an isolated event.
But
it truly
is just
is
seven
plan.
Coins on two sites? That doesn't sound very mass.
Well, it's important only in so much as when you address whether or not this was a plan or a proposal to induce a large number of people. This was
but there could only be one victim per coin. I mean, there's annoyance, I suppose, to the others bidding on.
But the question is, was there a plan or a program or other things of that nature to induce a large number of people to participate in? And I would suggest that what we're really dealing with in an auction is a specific wording in the application or the guideline, which is it a contest? It is necessary in order for the program to work to drive up the price. And in order to drive up the price, you have to, by definition, get a lot of people bidding on this object. And by inducing these people to bid on the object, they're going to drive up the price, and then by driving up the price, that's the purpose of getting the money, because you wouldn't be able to get that sort of money without a large number of people participating in this contest. So on that basis alone, it constitutes a mass market enhancement, or certainly is justified in those circumstances.
Well, wait, where in the briefs is the guideline? I can't find it.
I think that the government certainly cites it, I think, on page 11 in its brief, Your Honor. I'd have to grab it. But the guideline itself defines what a mass marketing is.
The text of the guideline, that's what I'm looking for.
I do believe
it. One of the briefs, I just can't find it.
Right, and I think the government cited on page 11. I could be incorrect.
Cited it. I'm looking for the text.
No, I'm saying I think they repeated the text. Excuse me.
What's the number?
It's 2B1.12A2.
Yes. Page what? Oh, thank you. Thank you very much, Mr. Jones. All right, page 15. Great. Okay, so this is a contest or sweepstakes? That's your argument? You're not relying on either of the other subparagraphs?
Well, no, I am relying on the first notion, but I'm saying that even if it wasn't a effort to have a program to induce a large number of people to buy the product, even if the court doesn't view it that way, because as I believe I heard the court state, and I think that's what the defense is arguing, that somehow there was ultimately only one victor or one purchaser of the product, it still qualifies as a type of contest.
Right. No, that's fine with regard to a contest or sweepstakes, but your argument is that an auction is like a contest.
That is correct. Because ultimately what you're doing is you're sending out to these people and saying, who's going to win this particular item by basically bidding the most amount for this item? So I'm saying that is an alternative.
Wouldn't this be a good situation in which to invoke Booker and say that it's not the text of the guideline, but that the judge, in the exercise of his 3553A discretion, can consider the fact that an auction does gets a lot of people interested and it kind of contaminates the auction process and would be a basis for a higher sentence rather than parsing the guideline and defining contest broadly and so on. We don't really know what was in the minds of the sentencing commission, so why wouldn't it be a good case for the judge to exercise his discretion?
Well, and I certainly, you're correct. I think that the court could, those guidelines are advisory, and the court can rule in that manner. And I think that clearly that those issues or that discretion is available to the court. The court knows it.
He didn't do that. He just interpreted instead of.
Well, I think there's a goal to make sure to fit the procedural mandates of Booker to make sure that the guidelines are applied correctly in the first instance.
Yeah, but he could have said, look, I think an auction is a contest within the meaning of the guidelines, but if I'm wrong, the thinking behind the guideline or my own thinking about, proportionate sentences suggests that this should be a higher sentence because it's very different from an individual solicitation. But he didn't do that. So. Okay, well, thank you, Mr. Yarosh. So, Mr. Jones, we'll give you a minute. I'll let your time right now. Don't give you much time.
As it relates to the response about his criminal history points, there was more than a flat denial. In the record, my objections point out more than just a different recollection. This did happen in 1992, this conviction of his. But he does point out he remembers going through substance abuse as an alternative, and that is documented in his PSR, as well as remembering getting out on a furlough for his daughter's birthday, and that just doesn't jive with being in prison for 19 months. There's more than...
Is it the sentence imposed, or is it how long he actually served?
Well, it is the sentence imposed, but I don't think...
So the furlough wouldn't make any difference.
But it wasn't a furlough. He said he remembers getting out of the drug treatment plan. I document that he did not go to prison at all for this. And so it's not just a flat denial that he doesn't remember being in prison. He says, no, what I remember is the judge said, you got one more chance. You're going to go to prison if you don't go to drug... Or you can try the drug treatment one more time. That was just what we presented.
But the document... Does it verify that he did serve time in the Wisconsin prisons or Minnesota prisons?
Not this document. It does not. It It does have 19 months written on it. It does suggest that there was some kind of document prepared in anticipation of this revocation of probation, but I don't know if it was ever formally
entered. If he were sentenced to 19 months in prison, but then the sentence was served in a drug facility or halfway house, or that wouldn't make a difference, would it? I'm just
I'd have to agree it probably would not make a difference.
Isn't his recollection consistent with... I mean, they're constantly letting people out and sending them. We had a case where someone's allowed to serve his sentence in a Salvation Army rehabilitation center. So person's recollection would be, no, I didn't go to jail, right? But he was actually had been sentenced to prison. Prison had a contract with the Salvation Army. So that's pretty common, isn't it?
I guess I would have to agree if a judge says that this crime was severe enough for me to sentence you to 19 months in prison and something else was worked out. But he says he was never told that. He was never sentenced to prison, but we'll try a different... He was given a choice, I think. That's just what he could recall. The only other thing, as far as an auction being a contest, I don't think that that's an accurate. I mean, an auction really is just an exercise in determining who in this room or in this world values a particular piece of property the most. It's not a contest. And I even cite the definition of a contest from Webster's Dictionary in there. I don't think it applies to an auction.
Okay, well, thank you very much. And Mr. Jones, you were appointed, were you not?
Yes.
So we thank you for your efforts on behalf of the client, and we thank Mr. Yarish as well.